Stand with me. We're going to pray before we look at the Word. Our Father, thank You for the encouragement of the words to that song, reminding us of truth that we believe, that You've revealed to us about Yourself, about the way that You relate to Your children who have come to know You through Jesus. Father, thank You for Your Word that encourages us. Thank You that Your Holy Spirit is the encourager in the many different ways that He encourages us. But Father, You have also chosen that Your people encourage each other, that we be involved in that ministry. Be like You in that way. And I pray that today, as we think more about that You would speak to our hearts. And Father, may what we see and hear today make a difference right away, that we would be willing to act and to respond to what we know You desire of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Some of you guys are very familiar with the words, "Daddy, give me a boost," right? Having six kids, I can't tell you how worn out I got sometimes pushing that swing and giving a boost, because my boosts didn't last forever. I had to keep doing it. And they kept needing it, right? Because the kids' little legs couldn't provide enough strength to get as high as they wanted to go on the swings. And so they needed a boost. And it was a privilege to give them that boost. And then there were times when they couldn't reach something. You know those times? Give me a boost. They needed to see something. They needed to get a cookie. Whatever it was, but they needed a boost because they weren't able to lift themselves up as high as they needed to at that time. And they needed a boost from Dad. The idea of a boost is that extra help, right? That extra help to move forward, to accomplish something you can't do on your own, to gain a little more strength. Somebody come alongside of you and give you that boost to move forward. We talk about booster rockets. You know, the astronauts need those booster rockets to get them up into space, and then at different times to give them another boost to get into another level of space, and we call them booster rockets. Booster shots, I'm sure some of us don't like those, but the booster shot is very important because it increases the effectiveness of the original vaccine that we may have received. And so that booster shot just pushes it forward a little more effective. We have booster cables, and I hope yours are ready because we're getting close. But we have booster cables. When someone has a weak battery, it's going to happen right out here in the parking lot in just a few weeks, perhaps. But, you know, we take those booster cables, and alongside comes a vehicle with a strong battery, and we hook up the strong battery to the weak battery. Just give it a charge. Give it a boost so we can get going again. We call them booster cables, and we say, I'll give you a boost, right? Good winter activity. We have booster clubs. Some of you are involved with booster clubs, right? In schools, it's a group of enthusiastic supporters. They support athletic teams. They support the music program, drama program, whatever. But it's the idea of giving those students a boost, support. And really, the whole idea of giving a boost is encouragement, right? It's another word for it, encouragement. That's what happens when you give a boost. You're helping someone move forward. You're helping someone move a little more upward. You're giving them a lift. You're coming alongside and providing some strength at a weak time. It's giving a boost. It's encouraging. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning for a little while in our series, One Another People, Jesus in Disguise. We're going to talk about the instruction to encourage one another. That's in Scripture. And encouragement is talked a lot about in Scripture. It's very clear that encouragement is important. Everybody needs encouragement, right? I need encouragement. You need encouragement. There's a certain power in encouragement. I don't know if you've noticed that. And it doesn't take much encouragement to really help a person. We're going to talk about that. Some of the scriptures that deal with encouragement are on your sheet there. We're not going to look at them. I'll tell you what they talk about. I might tell you that we're going to talk about a specific encouragement. The kind of encouraging that the Bible talks about isn't so much, you struck out that time, but you can hit the ball next time. I mean, that's encouragement, and that's important. But that's not the kind of encouragement the Scripture talks about. There's a specific area of encouragement that the Bible talks about when dealing with this one another principle, encouraging one another. Let me just take you quickly through these scriptures. In Romans 1:12, Paul talks about mutual encouragement. Encouragement in the body of Christ is to be mutual. That's why the phrase encourage one another. It's the idea of mutual, giving, receiving encouragement. It's mutual. And Paul talks about that. Romans 12:6 to 8 talks about the spiritual gift of encouragement. There are a number of spiritual gifts, special abilities God gives His people for ministry. And it says some people He gives this gift of encouragement. And I hope you have some of those people in your life. People who just have this gift from God to encourage. They're so in tune with encouragement. And they love to encourage in the biblical way. But that doesn't mean the rest of us who don't have that special gift are, you know, left out. We are to encourage, whether we have the gift or not. We're to encourage one another. But there is the gift of encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 talks about encouragement to live a worthy life. To live a worthy life. There we start getting into the kind of encouragement the Bible talks about. Encouraging each other to live the worthy life. To live the life that goes along with your calling, who you are as a child of God. You're no longer a slave to fear, you're a child of God. And we need to encourage each other in that area. To live that life. A worthy life. 1 Thessalonians 3:2 talks about encouraging to give strength during times of trials. We all go through trials. And the biblical encouragement is that encouragement that comes alongside and just gives you a little strength. Gives you a little boost while you're going through a trial. And there's always somebody in our life going through a trial that we can give a boost to and encourage in that time. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 and 5:11 talk about encouragement toward grieving people. Coming alongside and giving encouragement to people who are grieving loss. And then the encouragement about future hope. In 1 Thessalonians 5, one of the ways we encourage each other is to keep reminding each other of the future hope we have. There are times where we need that, because even as Christians, we can start feeling kind of hopeless. And biblical encouragement is when you come alongside and you instill some more hope. You renew the hope. And that's what 1 Thessalonians 5:11 talks about. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 talks about encouraging the timid. There are people who live with fear. They're timid. They struggle with fear. And encouragement, biblically, is where we can come alongside and help them to work through their fears. Encourage the timid. Instill some courage in them. Help them in that way. That's biblical encouragement. In Acts 11 and Acts 14, Paul talks about how he wants to encourage people. He goes from church to church, encouraging them to remain true to the Lord. True to the faith. And in Titus 1:9, it talks about leadership, and one of the things that a leader needs to be able to do is encourage the people. and specifically encourage them with sound doctrine. So you can kind of see the direction the Bible is going in encouraging each other. We encourage people, you know, on the ball field. We encourage people in different ways. And we need to do that. The world does that. There are great encouragers out there in the world. Okay? But the encouragement in Scripture to encourage one another in this context of the kingdom of God, the family of God, is more specific. It's in connection with our Christian lives and things we go through. And we fellow believers who understand that are instructed to come alongside and encourage each other in those directions. It's very hard to live the Christian life isolated from encouragers. We need encouragers in the body of Christ. An unbeliever can encourage me, but not in these areas. Because those areas that I just went through in those scriptures aren't important to the unbeliever. They'll encourage me in other areas. You know? But I need my brothers and sisters who understand this stuff to come alongside of me and give me a boost. Urge me forward. Lift me up. Give me courage when I'm afraid. We need each other to encourage each other. So that's what we're going to talk about. I got re-encouraged this week. As I was doing this, I remembered that since I started in the ministry, I have been keeping what I call encouragement folders. And because I need encouragement. So for what? 40-some years in the ministry, I've been keeping any card, any note, any letter, any email, just anything in writing that has come my way that has encouraged me. And there are times when I'm not feeling too up where I will take one of these folders out and I will just kind of skim through it, and God uses them again to re-encourage me. You know? Here they are. 40-some years worth of encouragement in four different folders. And I went through them, just kind of skimmed through them, and there's some stuff that I've gotten from some of you in here. You're part of my history, all right? You're on file, all right? As an encourager in my life, okay? And the interesting thing is, it seems like when we're willing to encourage each other, it may encourage us that first time, but for me, it's something that keeps on encouraging as I go back to it. So never underestimate your words of encouragement, okay? Whatever form they take, spoken words, written words, never underestimate them, because for a lot of people they come back. And God uses them to re-encourage. A lot of times it's not just a one-time thing. So encourage. I read one that I have in here from my son Brett when he was in third grade. It must have been an assignment. And the top of it says, "Why I love my dad." Okay? And it said, "Because he'll stop what he's doing and play catch when I want him to play catch. I love my dad because he comes to my games. I love my dad because when he picks me up from practice, we go to the gas station and I get Pop and a little Debbie." You know, it's just really, that's encouraging. I got to read that again. And he would be embarrassed if he were here. But I need those folders. I need them. And I will continue to add encouragement to it. It's that important. I want to turn your attention to one passage of Scripture. Even though Scripture deals with the importance of encouragement in many places, one Scripture this morning, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The title of our series has been One Another People, Jesus in Disguise, which simply reminds us that all of these one another teachings really are about being like Jesus. Being like our Lord. And here it's the same thing. I mean, what is the Holy Spirit called in Scripture? The encourager. the paraclete, the one who comes alongside and encourages. That's the Holy Spirit. So we're simply being instructed to be like Him, to be like our Lord when we encourage one another. And Hebrews chapter 10 talks about encouragement. So I'm just going to take you through it very quickly. Let me read it for you first. Verses 22 to 25, Hebrews 10. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. One of the things you may notice there as we go through it, if you catch on to these things in your Bible study, is the words let us five times. So if you're a teacher or a preacher, there's your outline, right? The 5-point outline, let us, five times. I want to start on the back end of the passage where we have the instructions very clearly to be encouragers and to encourage each other. So let's look at 24 and 25 first. Two clear instructions. Verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Isn't that encouragement? Spur one another on. That's giving a boost. Spur one another on. The word there means to provoke, to stimulate, to stir up. Spur one another on. That's encouragement. And it's very specific, isn't it? Spur one another on to love and good deeds. I am to spur you on. I am to be an encourager in your life. I'm to be a person who gives you a boost toward you loving people and practicing good deeds. You know, I'm going to encourage you. And I'm going to say, thank you for singing that song, Sarah. I'm going to say, you know, Brenna, your playing the keyboard just gives me the chills. Those songs you chose were uplifting. But what the scripture says here specifically is spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's the forward motion that you want to spur each other on toward. You know? I'll encourage you on the ball field, guys, but I'm told in Scripture to spur you on to love and good deeds. Okay? So it's specific there. But I want you to see how he starts this let us. It says, let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. What does it mean to consider? Think about. Right? To consider something means you actually think about it. I think what the writer is saying here is that spurring each other on, encouraging each other, giving each other a boost, is intentional. You actually think about it. You think about how to do it. You think about who needs it. You think about how am I going to spur them on. You think about in what direction do I want to spur them on. You think about when am I going to do it. It's intentional. I know that sometimes things happen randomly, but I get tired of people saying active, random, you know, acts of kindness. Encouragement is not to be random. The scripture says, consider how. You think about it. How to spur one another on. How often do you do that? How often do you actually think about encouraging people? How often do you actually ask the question, who can I encourage today? Who can I spur on to love and good deeds? Who can I give a boost to today? Do you actually think about that? I mean, I bet there are Christians here in this place who can't remember the last time they intentionally thought about encouraging somebody and spurring them on. And yet the Scripture says, consider, think about it, be intentional how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's pretty clear, isn't it? It's a pretty clear instruction. And then it gets more clear because you actually have the one another principle in verse 25 toward the end. It says, but let us, it's the last let us of the passage, let us encourage one another. There it is. It's just a clear instruction. Encourage one another. That's the teaching. Do it. Encourage one another. And you see what it says after that? Even more. All the more as you see the day approaching. Probably talking about, it could be the return of Christ, the day of the Lord, judgment. I mean, we know we're getting closer to that, right? We live in some pretty discouraging times. It can be pretty discouraging out there. And so the writer is saying, even back then, he's saying, encourage one another even more as you see the day approaching. You don't let up on the encouragement and spurring each other on because we're getting closer to the end. He says we should be doing it even more as we see the day approaching. Encourage one another. So, clear instructions. Clear. And we can stop right there. We can stop right there. Because we got the instructions. They're clear. We understand them. We can go home and we can decide if we're going to do it or not. Am I going to consider, actually be intentional about thinking how I can spur others on to love and good deeds? And we've got enough information to go home and decide, do I want to obey Scripture or not? Do I want to be a person who encourages other people? I mean, the instructions are clear. But we're not going to go home. I'm not done yet. Because that was just the tail end of the passage. There's a context to this. Something came before these instructions to spur each other on, to give each other boosts, to encourage each other. Something came before that becomes kind of a context here. The context in which the encouraging takes place. The best context in which it takes place. So let's look at that. It would be the first three let us's. That doesn't sound grammatically correct, does it? But let us's. Okay? The first three of them. First of all, in verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. And then the second let us, in verse 23, let us hold unswervingly or hold tightly the hope we profess. Because God keeps His promises. Right? We learned that in Sunday school. As frustrating as it was for some of you, we learned that in Sunday school today. So, before the instructions to encourage, you have the instruction to draw near to God with a sincere heart, full of the assurance of the faith, and then to hold tightly to, unswervingly, the hope that we have, because we have a promise-keeping God. Now, what does that have to do with then eventually the instruction to spur one another on to love and good deeds and encourage one another? What does that have to do with that? The best context in which to encourage each other is when you yourself are drawing near to God and you have full assurance of your faith. And you're holding on to hope. How do you encourage somebody and inspire hope in them if you don't have assurance of your faith? If you aren't holding on to your hope? If you aren't drawing near to God? I mean, who's the source of the encouragement that you're going to give? God is the source. If I'm not drawing near to God, how can I come alongside you and encourage you? How can I inspire hope in you? How can I help you move forward in your faith? How can I spur you on to faith, good deeds, love, serving others, if I'm not doing the same? See, you got inflow, outflow type thing. I've got to be drawing near to God so that I can come near to you and encourage you. That's the context of this encouragement. Draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance of the faith. Hold on to your hope and consider how you then can spur one another on. I think that's context. It's very difficult to encourage one another in the areas the Bible talks about encouragement if I'm not drawing near to God myself. If I'm not assured of my faith. If I am not holding on to hope. It's very hard for me to instill that in you. You know? So I think that's a real connection here. And then, verse 25, the third let us, fourth let us, that I skipped. Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. You see, the encouragement instruction is in the context of drawing near to God, having full assurance of your own faith, holding on to the hope you have. Encouraging one another is in that context. There's a third context. It's meeting together. This passage is saying that encouragement takes place in community. Let us not neglect the meeting together, as some do, but let us encourage one another. Connecting the encouraging each other with the meeting together. See that? And I know people play around with this teaching. But you know what the word is for meeting together? Synagogue. It's the verb form of synagogue. What does synagogue mean? It means the regular gathering of the congregation. That's what it means. That's what it meant. Synagogue. The synagogue in a noun form was the place of regular gathering of the congregation for worship. The gathering of the worshipers. The synagogue. The verb form, synagoguing, just means regularly meeting together. But see, people look at this and they say, but I do that with John once a week at Caribou. John and I meet at Caribou. We have coffee and we talk about the Lord and we even pray right there in Caribou and have good fellowship. And then they conclude by saying, see, I don't have to go to church. Well, nobody says you have to go to church. But you see, what people do with this, that's not what is talked about here. I think it's good that you meet with John at Caribou. And if anybody wants to meet with me at Caribou this week, give me a call. And we will go to Caribou and we'll drink coffee and we'll fellowship and we'll talk about the Lord and we will even pray there in public. But that's called fellowship. And that's called building a relationship. And encouragement will go on there. You know, one-to-one, we'll encourage each other. That's not what this scripture is talking about. This scripture is talking about the synagoguing. That's the regular meeting of the congregation. The regular meeting of the worshipers. That's what it means. And the readers would have understood that. And so what the writer is saying, the context of encouragement that he is talking about is the community. He says, do not neglect the synagoguing, the regular coming together. But instead, encourage each other. So where would the encouraging take place? In the community when it comes together, right? That's really what he's talking about here. You know, let us not give up meeting together. Let's not neglect it. The word means to leave behind. Let's not leave it behind. Let's not abandon it. Let's not walk away from it. And what's happening today in Christian circles? Believers are walking away from the synagoguing, aren't they? And they've got all their spiritual sounding reasons. But this text says, do not walk away. Do not abandon the synagoguing. That's what it says. As some are in the habit of doing. It's important. The synagoguing. Because in the synagoguing, in the gathering together of the community, encouragement can take place. Has anybody been encouraged this morning? Has anybody been encouraged by being here? That's what happens in the synagogue. That's what's supposed to happen. And, you know, I know that some people think there's no encouragement when they synagogue with certain groups, so that's why they abandon it. Well, then find a community that encourages. But don't abandon the synagoguing and blame somebody else for you disobeying Scripture. There are going to be Christian communities that for some reason aren't encouraging. And you can synagogue with them and never be encouraged. But that is not a reason to disobey this Scripture. It says, do not neglect the synagoguing. Do not abandon it. Do not leave it, because that's where good encouragement can take place. That's where good spurring on to love and good deeds can take place. That's where getting some new strength in time of your trial can be experienced. That's where hope can be renewed. Okay? That's where a grieving person can gain some comfort. It's the way it's supposed to be. The church, the community, is supposed to be an encouraging place in the biblical sense. An encouraging place full of encouragers. May we be that kind of church. As people synagogue here, may they be encouraged. Now that doesn't mean may they be comfortable. Okay? Because did you know you can get uncomfortable with encouragement? Because encouragement involves spurring you on in your faith, spurring you on in your hope, spurring you on in your serving with people, spurring you on in love, spurring you on in good deeds. And for some people, that's very uncomfortable to be encouraged in those directions. So I'm not saying that we need to be a church community that makes everybody feel comfortable. There are times when we're going to encourage you and it's not going to feel comfortable. In fact, next week we're going to talk about that. We're supposed to be a family that warns each other. Some encouragement is uncomfortable, but the idea is that when we synagogue, there is encouragement and there's spurring on and you get a boost from your regular synagoguing. That's the way it's supposed to be. Wow. That was not what I was going to do. Okay, that became a big part of this. But just to say, we've got the instructions, they're very clear. Consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds, encourage one another even more as you see the day approaching. But the context is, as you draw near to God yourself, and you become fully assured of your faith, and you become unswervingly committed to hope and believing the hope you have in Christ. In that context, and as you meet together, spur one another on. Figure out how you can do that and encourage each other. That's what it's saying. So, it's time to close. But not without action, not without response, because this is something we can respond to right away. And it's crazy to say to you people here at this time, in this place, that your response is to synagogue with the community. You're here. You're synagoguing, right? And many of you do it regularly. So you're not the people that neglect it or abandon it or walk away from it. So my challenge to you is not start synagoguing. Okay. My challenge is in verse 24. I encourage you to respond to verse 24 that says, consider how to spur one another on, to encourage one another. Make it an intentional part of your Christian life. Consider who needs encouragement. How can I encourage them? How can I spur them on? When will I do it? Where will I do it? Consider it. Think about it. Don't count on random acts of encouragement. Consider how. Lord, how can I encourage somebody today? Who do you want me to encourage to spur on? That's my challenge to you. Consider it. Who can I encourage? How can I encourage them? And when? Maybe the when is before you leave this morning. Maybe you know right now who it should be in the next hour. Maybe it's somebody not here, so it'll be later today. Maybe it'll be during the week. But consider it. Who in my life needs encouragement? Who needs to be spurred on in their faith? And how can I do that? And when will I do it? It's to be intentional. Okay? And let me just add this. Please don't get into this thinking that the only people who need encouragement and need to be spurred on in your life are the people who are really having a hard time and aren't doing well. I mean, obviously they need encouragement and spurring on. But you know what we do? We miss all the people who are doing well. They need encouragement, don't they? To keep doing well, to know they're on the right track, to keep going. And sometimes when we get intentional about encouraging, we're always asking, who's not doing well? You know? That's an okay question. But also ask God, who's doing well? That just needs me to encourage them to keep going. See? They need encouragement too. Encourage one another. And even the more, as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. These instructions are pretty clear. And Father, we also understand that it's a little harder to encourage people if we ourselves aren't drawing near to you, and if we don't even have full assurance of our faith, and if we aren't experiencing that great hope, and if we're not walking with you in obedience. So Father, may we take the steps that equip us to be encouragers. And then, Father, we know from experience that when the community comes together to worship and fellowship regularly, that great encouragement can go on, and may we be a part of that. So many Christians missing out on it for various reasons. Father, may we never neglect that, walk away from it, abandon it, because it's your will. May we synagogue with brothers and sisters where encouragement can really take place. Father, thank you. Thank you for these people who have encouraged me. Thank you for the people who have filled my folders and keep me going. Father, help me to be that kind of person in someone's life. I pray that it would go on mutually here even more than ever, because we respond to your word. In Christ's name, amen.